Wednesday, the 7th of July, Kof Hei Tammuz, Rabbi Chaim Rubin, the Gedolim, past and present.
Posrim, before the Sanya, wish to thank you for inviting me back again, second time. And it's really going to be a continuation of what we started last time. Last time we spoke about my Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, brought down a number of interesting thoughts, actions. Anything that he did was something that really inspired me. And as a matter of fact, after I left here, I reminded myself of one more thing I'll mention again. However, before that, I'd like to start today with a woman, even though I never met her, but I'd like to say that there's a possibility that we may learn from her. Back in World War I, there was in the city of Krakow a woman by the name Sora Schneer. And this famous woman, Sora Schneer, went to Vienna. She found a dwelling place, she found a shul, and one day the Rav was speaking in the shul about the importance of chinuch habonos, of raising the Jewish girls in a Jewish atmosphere, Jewish environment, rather than go to the public school. It seems that she got so inspired by that one drasha from the Rav that she started a whole Beshaka movement where I assume that probably hundreds of thousands of young ladies have gone through and Baruch Hashem was over to build Jewish homes and raise Jewish children the way we like to see them go out. This is a tremendous thing. Here we see that by her listening to a role, and they say that after 120 years when he came upstairs and they took out his ticket, took out his
scorecard.
and they showed him that he had built the Beis Yaakov. He said, me, I never even heard of Beis Yaakov. He said there was they don't say the name. That's a good thing to inquire. But I had to go back to the First World War. Just before my time. Anyway, the point is that I think that if there's such a thing that's possible of inspire a whole olam and someone will really learn from it and do something about it, like we said, by Yishma Yisrael, only Yisrael heard, the whole world heard what I could spoke and done to Klal Yisrael, but the Mefoshim had to it one word, by Yishma Yisrael Ubo. He did something about it. He came and he did something. And this is, of course, is the idea. Now, Rav Moshe, I don't really have the nerve to call him Rav Moshe Feinstein, my Rebbe. That was a story that I remind myself after I left last time. There was an old bocha, another bocha who had learned in Nevada, and in New York, and he was going on a Friday afternoon to the Lower East Side where the Rosh Hashiva lived, and he was in a great hurry. He didn't wait for an elevator, went up two flights of stairs, and he went up and he rang the bell and he's waiting, and no one opens the door, so he was sort of tired and he leaned over towards the door backwards, and just then the Rosh Hashiva opened up. And by opening up, the weight of him knocked over the Rosh Hashiva. He fell on the floor. The family came running. He said, "Say everything is a beseder." His grandson, Rav Tendler, Mordechai Tendler, he said, "Daddy, you should know that this man, he needs a shidduch. As an alter bocher, he's an old man already, and he needs someone." Within a couple of days, a shatan called, and the man was answered, and he built a Jewish home. Baruch Hashem, we see the Rosh Hashiva had a koach also by his blessings that even a shidduch would come through. Today I'd just like to give you a few thoughts of my own personal experience that I had with some of the gedolim, of course, from the United States. One was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that we used to call Rabbi Yaakov. And he was one of the Gedolim that lived at the time, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rabbi Ann Kotler, and as well as Rabbi Yitzchak Hudner. They were all the part of the Moeses of Gedolei HaTorah. And it says that I once heard from Rabbi Yaakov the interesting word. He said when our mother, Rivka, was pregnant with the twins, and you all remember how it says that she passed by a shul, she felt like the embryo wanted to get out. She passed by a mokom avos zara, she felt the embryo wanted to get out, and she was in a quandary. And therefore, Vatelech Lidrosh is Hashem, she went to inquire by Hashem. So we want to know, what's the Lidrosh of Hashem? How do you speak to the Almighty? So they gave the answer that she went to the Shiva of Shem Ve'eveh. Then a little later on, it says that Yaakov Avinu, all the Torah that he learned, the 14 years that he spent, was also in the Yeshiva of Shem Ve'eveh. And when Yaakov Avinu gave over the Torah to his son Yosef, it also said he gave over the Torah of Shem Ve'eveh. So of course the obvious question is there any difference between the Torah of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov and the Yeshiva of Shem Ve'eveh? So I once heard, and this is what Rabbi Yaakov said. He said that true, that Shem Ve'eveh were the Nosorim, they were survivors of the Mabul. And therefore they knew how to deal with certain problems that possibly Aram and Yitzchak were not aware of. And this is why they went to Shem Ve'eveh. She had a problem now with idolatry. Someone wants to go to Mokum Tumah, to a Mokum of Avos Zorah. That was maybe not a question for her husband. However, it was a question for Shem Ve'eveh. And again, he said that Yaakov Avinu, he had to learn how to deal with a conniver, with a thief like Lavan. And at the same time that they knew that Yosef was going away eventually, so again he prepared him for that. So this same Rav Yaakov, he was the one who really taught us this lesson. But I think there's even a very interesting point in his life. And he said the following, and I think it's very important for us to know that. He said, when Moshiach will come, he's going to come to a yeshiva in Yerushalayim, in Beit Vegan. And the yeshiva is called Kol Yaakov. And the yeshiva is Rabbi Huda Adis. He said, why would he come to that yeshiva? Because there, the Sfarim and Ashkenazim, they learn together. And there's an achdus, and there's a brotherhood, and there's a companionship, and there's lomish, no strife whatsoever. He said, such a place is where Moshiach will come. No, halavai, he should come any place. But if that's what Rav Yaakov said. And this, I think, is really a teaching for us, because we know that why was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? And our sages tell us because of Sin HaSchinam. And this Sin HaSchinam is one of the things that Baruch Hashem we don't find over there. Rabbi Aaron Kotler, of course, everyone knew him as a Golul Batorah, as a Golul Hador. And I had two personal experiences with him. One, and this is something that has been with me ever since. I was a Bochel Yeh. And I was living in New York at the time, and I went to a shul in Borough Park. It's called the Sfadish Shul. It's really an Ashkenazi shul, but with a Yusuf Sfad. And Rabbi Yaakov had finished davening, and he was on his way out, and I was about to enter. I said, no, I see Rabbi Kotler is there. I keep the door open for him. He said, oh no. He said, I daven already. You are going to daven. You have Kadima, you have present to walk in first. And that was the thing that very often, you know, you leave a shul and people come in and they can't understand. You with a long white gray, white beard, you're standing there and you're waiting for the little bottle to come in. Yes, if I finish davening already, then he has a Kadima. That was one thing. And secondly, a friend of mine was getting married, and he learned in Lakewood Yeshiva, where the Rosh Yeshiva, where Rabban was the Rosh Yeshiva, and he asked me to please take him to the Chasna. Now, I had under the impression that Rabban Kotler is a man of book knowledge, he's a man who knows Kol HaTorah Kula. However, I learned another thing about him. when I took him in the car, and the wedding was in one of the hotels in Midtown at Manhattan, and he told me every shortcut from Brooklyn to Manhattan, and I was flabbergasted. I couldn't barely believe it. I thought he was a man who only knew Sfarim, and he knew as well even which highway to use, which... It was amazing. That was something that did tremendously for me. Another one that I learned by was in Baltimore. When I came to Baltimore back in 1949 to 53, 4 years, and that was really the first yeshiva that I ever learned in. Denmark didn't have any yeshivas as such. They had a cheder, and there was a few people, they called them the rabbis, but not that they were really prepared as rabbis, but they had learned in the Europe's yeshivas, and therefore they were the ones who gave over. So that was the first time that I met a Rosh Yeshiva, and I met a Mashkiach in my life. And who was the rabbi there? It was Reb David Kronglass. Reb David Kronglass was a Mashkiach that had an unbelievable koach, an unbelievable power. When he would speak to the people, he would make sure that you would understand what he's talking about, to the extent that it went into the bones, it went into the cells, it went into... You would really take me in by it. And I like to tell you that very often when he spoke after Shalosh Shudos, it was not in the Beis HaMedrash, but it was in a private room. And as we went in there, sometimes in Baltimore it got over 100 degrees. I don't know really how many degrees it would be in centigrade, but it was real hot. And we had to sit with our jacket on and with our hats on, and we were sweating bullets at the time. However, I can tell you, he was able to elevate us. I remember clearly that went into Davin Matur Shabbos, an ordinary Matur Shabbos, I had more kavanah than I can have on any Ne'ilah today during Yom Kippur. That was a tremendous koach, and if not for him, I don't know if I would have turned out to be what I am today. He certainly had a lot to do with it. Another one of my rabbis is one that you may have heard of. I don't know if you have it here, but there's a perush on the Zohar that's called Mosuk Midvash. Mosuk Midvash means sweeter than honey. But there's another interpretation. Devash, the rabbi told me at the time that Devash Dalet Beis Shin is Doniel ben Soro. That was his name, and the mother of Soro. So he was the one, and I was fortunate to learn with him 16 years, the whole Zohar, Tikkun Zohar, Zohar Cholos, for 16 years. He would sit here, I would sit right next to him, and before this Sforim, 22 volumes, came into print, I was part of that Chabura, of that group, that sort of examined every daf before it went into a print. Now he was a remarkable person. He was, of course, one of the Hasidim. He lived only to be 70 years, and I think a week after that. And I remember once on a Friday night, he invited me for a Shabbos to his home. And I remember specifically that the men sat in one room, and the ladies, the women, sat in another room. And one of the sons was serving. So when it came towards the very end, and he had to serve what we call the compote afterwards, it seems like the tray that he brought in with all the dishes to all the people that were present, he had not really pushed it in probably on the table, and it all fell on the floor. You know, all the fruit salad, whatever they had there. So, you know, there's some people that say, what's the matter with you? You got two left hands? You can't see what you're doing? Nothing of the kind. Go out here in the kitchen, make some other ones and bring it in. Still gone, he's gone. I was amazed that the man was able to control himself. When he passed away, he left the tzavah, he left the will.
What was his name?
Reb Daniel Frisch. Reb Daniel Frisch. This is a town.
Where was this happening?
In the kitchen.
it was in Yeah. Now this Rabbi Daniel Frisch, after he passed away, and he left a will, a savor, a will. And I got a hold of a copy of that. And it was a will that was written specifically for his children, for his grandchildren. And I assume, as a Talmud, I was entitled to look into it. I have it in my house. And in there, I saw a tremendous thing. And this is what he wrote. That I want you to know, and it really goes for all of us, when you wake up in the morning, you have in front of you 24 empty hours. How are you going to use them? Now think about that for a moment. You all got up this morning, Baruch Hashem. And I see that you said you know how to use your time. I assume you all davened before you came. You had breakfast before you came. And now you came here to start the day off with Torah. And hopefully that will be a continuation. This is such a tremendous lesson for all of us. That when we wake up in the morning, 24 empty hours, how are you going to fill them? This same Rav Daniel was an African concentration camp, and the German, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, broke his fingers, and his fingers were really crumbled up. It was a sad thing. He was told that there was someone, a natural healer, who had very, very good results. And people urged him to go to him. So he went to this natural healer, and I don't know what he started to do, but he's, of course, Rabbi Daniel only had in mind that it should all be done in the Shemayim from heaven, and Chas V'Shalom, no hocus pocus, no avodah zarah, nothing of that, no black magic. And the man said, "You are fighting me. You are fighting me." In other words, he wanted to use the approach of Rahman Islam of avodah zarah. Rav Daniel was only with Shemayim, with heaven, and he said, "You're fighting me," and he couldn't do anything for him, and he left the world in this way. The next one I have on my list here is someone that just passed away a couple of weeks ago. It was the Sfadi, previous chief rabbi, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu Zatzal. But Mordechai Eliyahu was a tremendous person. I want you to know that even though he was a Sephardi background, he had a very close contact with the Chazon Ish. He was loved by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rabbi Eliashiv also held a lot from him. And I was told that the Belzer Rav, the Belzer Rebbe, he came to him and he said, "Rav Mordechai, the dira, the apartment that you live in, tell me, was that an apartment that was bought from the money that you got from the Israeli government while you were the chief rabbi?" He said, "No, this was money that I used from before I got the job." And he said, "Otherwise I would be willing to pay you, to pay for an apartment and buy you." That was the relationship. So I went to one of the Hespedim. And it was a remarkable story that was told at the time. I hear your question. Yeah. I hear your question, and I'll speak to you privately about it. Anyway, I went to one of the Hespedim, and it was an unbelievable story that was told. He said there was a certain rabbi, also Chacham Alfia, who passed away, lo leinu. And he said he came to the Levaya, and Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu, he went along. So the Chevra Kadisha wanted to bury this Rabbi Alfia in the cemetery of the poor people. Rabbi Chaim Mordechai Eliyahu, he wanted him to be buried in the Chelkas HaRabbanim, where he belonged. So the Chelkas HaRabbanim says, "Look, if you're willing to pay for it, we'll put him by the Chelkas HaRabbanim." He said, "Look," Rabbi Mordechai said, "I have no money, but I tell you what I'll do. I'll stand by the Machane Yehuda, by the Shuk over there every day, and I'll ask people for donations, and when I get enough money, I'll pay for it." "Oh, no. We want to check right now, otherwise he's going to go into the place for the poor people." Just then, a fancy car drove into the cemetery. A man, he hops out of the car, and he sees there's a big discussion going on. He said, "What's the discussion all about?" So he said, "Well, you should know that we came here for a funeral, and we, as a representative of the Chevra Kadisha, we want to place him among the poor people because there's no one to pay for it. And even though that the Rav Moshe Eliyahu, he offered to raise the money, but we want the money right now." He said, "How much is it?" I don't know what the amount was. He took out his checkbook, he wrote the book, the amount, and he gave it to them, and he was buried in the Chelukah Sorabonim. So Rav Moshe Eliyahu, he went over to the person, and this is what he said to him: "Tell me, why are you here? You didn't know Rabbi Alfia." He said, "I'll tell you what happened. This morning, a great rabbi, I remember exactly what he looked like, he came to me and said, 'If you want to do a good deed, be at the cemetery this afternoon.'" So Rav Moshe Eliyahu asked him, "Do you know what he looked like?" He said that if someone will show me either him or a picture of him, I'll recognize him. Rav Moshe Eliyahu invited him to his house, took out a photo album, showed him a picture, and he said, "Sure, that was him." She said, "It can't be him. He was gone. He's waiting for a burial." Min Hashemayim, in the schus of Rav Moshe Eliyahu, they showed him this person, and therefore he said he went out to do the mitzvah, and the man was buried in the Chelukah Sorabonim. So we're talking about great, great people that really went through a lot. I don't have to tell you about Rav Eliyashiv. Today's a world-known Posek HaDor. Today we don't see too much of Bli Hara. I may have asked him, he's 100 years old, and as a matter of fact, if you want to know, Rabbi Pinchas Scheidenberg, in the month of Elul, another 2 months, he'll also be 100, Bezat Hashem. All of them should live to be 120, and of course reach the Moshiach. And what can I tell you, Rabbi Yashar? It's interesting to know that nowadays, if you want to see him, it's impossible. However, if you come to his shiurim that he gives in the afternoon, if you're able to find it, squeeze in and find a seat, then you have an opportunity. But he does something else too now. And he does Santa Claus. If somebody wants him to be a Sunday at the day of Brit Milah, you gotta bring the baby to his shul in the morning at 9 o'clock, and he'll be one or two times, and the morning gotta be ready. There's no waste of time there at all. Maybe you made him mention his son-in-law also, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who is the Gadol today, the son of the Stipler. I have seen him a few times, and there's a beautiful story that goes around to show his greatness. I know that before I had my second open-heart surgery, we asked a question of him, and he was the one who said we should go ahead and do the surgery. So they said there was a man who had a 2-year-old boy, and he came to him for what we call an upsharing to have the first haircut. So Reb Chaim asked, "How old is your boy?" He said, "He's 2 years old." He said, "You're too early. He's supposed to come at 3. He said, "Rabbi, I'm sorry to tell you, my son has a tumor on the brain, and the doctor said he's not going to live to be 3 years old, so we thought we would do it now, and you will do the honor for us." So it says that Reb Chaim, he took the little boy into a side room, and then he came back, and he told the father, "You come back when he turns 3, and not now." So they had a doctor appointment, and the doctor appointment was amazed. They did not find any tumor. So the father went back and asked Reb Chaim, "What did you do to my son when you went into the other room?" And he said, "I had just finished Kol HaTorah Kula. It's a known thing that Reb Chaim Kanievsky finished the whole Torah every year. Bavli, Yerushalmi, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, Rishonim, Achronim, anything that there is, he finished all that in 1 year. And then he makes a big siyum, and he has some wine left over from that siyum that took in Kol HaTorah Kula, and he gave that little boy a little bit of that wine to drink, and that had a miracle that took place. The tumor disappeared. The doctors were amazed. But this, these are some of the gedolim we have. I'd like to tell you of a gedol that's alive today. You may have heard the name, Rav Shmuel Dishon. He's from New York. It was very interesting. He was giving a talk to people about the Bein Olam L'Chaveru, how you live among your friends, you know, in the way we should live among ourselves. So what happened was, as he's walking into the hall, a woman stops him on the way and said, Rabbi, when you go in there, maybe you can speak about the me generation. Today he knows me, it's I, me, myself, and no one else, only me. He said, I'll be glad to. So he comes into the hall and starts, Umi ke'am po Yisrael, who is like the Jewish nation. He said, that's the way he looked upon it. And then he said, at one time he was giving a talk against speaking Lashon, against speaking and talking and listening to Lashon Hara. And he said, after that talk, he's not going to speak about that subject anymore. So I said, why not? He said, after I spoke, a woman walked up to me and said, Rabbi, you were fantastic. You really did something real, real great. However, he said, you are much better than the one who spoke before you. So of course, when he heard that, he said, this is not a subject for me. But I want to tell you, we had another great, great Rav. And his name was Dine Fisher. Today his son is the Rav of a great shul in Yerushalayim, Zichron Moshe in Geula. And he had among all his congregants, he had someone who every year on first day Rosh Hashanah, he would buy shlishi. You know, if they would auction off their aliyahs, he would buy shlishi every year. One year he dozed off while they were auctioning off, and he missed the shlishi and someone else bought it. And the man, when he woke up, he was devastated. He was destroyed. He went up to Dime Fisher and he said to him, Rebbe, you know that every year I used to buy shlishi, and this year I passed. Don't worry about it. So you'll buy it next year. The Rebbe says, you can buy it next year, means he's going to be alive next year as well. That man died that year. So the family sit in shiva, and Dime Fisher comes to pay a shiva call, and one of the sons says, Rebbe, we heard that you told our father that being that he missed the shlishi that year, he would buy it next year. How come he died? He didn't answer Amen after my bracha. Mm-hmm. When somebody gives a bracha, you should always remember to say Amen afterwards, that the bracha should have a kiyum. Okay, do I have time for one more?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. this really has nothing to do with the going, but it's an amazing story, and mamish amazing. There was in Switzerland, there was a young fellow, a masmi, someone who learned mamish day and night. And Baruch Hashem, he got married, and after he got married, he went into a kollel and he kept on learning. Baruch Hashem, they were blessed every year, another child. And eventually, said the oldest child became of age in order to get married. And as this the child was ready to get married, the wife says to her husband, says, listen, I'm afraid, but I think you have to close your gemara now, go out and work, because we have now a lot of added expenses. So don't worry, Hashem has helped us. Up until now, he'll continue to help us. No. He goes back to the kollel, he learns. A few days later, they get a letter from the Federal Supreme Court. And the Federal Supreme Court said the following, that the man had to be in court on such and such a date and a time. So the wife said, don't go. He said, look, I didn't do anything wrong. What do I have to worry about? I'm going to go. So he went, and he's standing before the judge. And the judge said, what is your name? He gave the name. You married? Yes. Children? Yes. How many children do you have? 14 children. He said, 14 children? How do you take care of them? He said, the good Lord has helped me. He'll keep on helping me. He said, he sure will. He said, I have here at Savoy, I have a will of a man who passed away, who was very eccentric. And he said, he owned the largest hotel in Switzerland. and he wanted to give that after his death, being that he had no family, to the man with the most children that lived in Switzerland. So they checked it out in the Ministry of Interior. We found out that you, with 14 children, have the largest family in Switzerland. Therefore, the hotel belongs to you, and good luck to you. That means that if a person really puts their emuna and bitachon in the Borei Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help a person wherever it's going to come from. We really don't know. I would say to all of you that Be'ezrat Hashem, try to remember that you have 24 hours ahead of you. Try to remember what the Soroshniya did. If you want to come up with some beautiful idea, it's going to benefit yourself, your family, your community, your country, the Jewish people, and certainly that's something that we should take to heart. And be that you start the day off the proper way, Kosh Baruch Hu should give all of you a slokha rabba, all of you should have all the blessings that.